This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
That's just kind of like, to me, that's the cherry picking thing that we do, and I get it. It's not that it's unfair, but like when Ronnie Bell goes out onto the field and he drops a ball, and then suddenly we've got a march on the Capitol with regard to the idea of why is Ronnie Bell even on the team? Well, Ronnie Bell's been on the team for 2 years. Nobody said boo.
Because he hasn't played.
Well,
and now he's playing.
Actually, he did.
And now we're also saying boo.
He has played.
And you see what I did there?
Very good.
I had to make sure that got recognized. I thought it was
last
genius.
Last year on the home opener, you and I go out there. We go to the Hilton. We do our show. We go to the game Thursday night against the New York Giants. What happens? Ronnie Bell plays a huge role. Catches a touchdown. Ronnie Bell had an impact in that game.
Yeah, three touchdowns for the year.
Yeah.
183 snaps on offense last year.
But you drop one ball.
Two,
but one that mattered.
Yeah.
You drop that ball, and now we're going all the way back 2 years to your idiots for even having him on the team. And I guess that's what I'm getting at, fundamental to the conversation we had off the top of the show. Like, do you want to be mad that Ronnie Bell's on the team? Great, be mad that Ronnie Bell's on the team. I don't think he's that great either. But everybody's fifth or sixth receiver is A, not that good, like not that sparkly, and B, I don't care if you're wide receiver eight. You miss a ball, that's on you. You're a professional football player. That's not on the coaching staff. That's not on John Lynch because Ronnie Bell dropped a ball. It's on Ronnie Bell.
It's on John Lynch for selecting the player, and it's on Kyle for the player still not being better.
It's one drop. You're going to go backwards now and call it a bad draft pick, which I don't even know what round it was.
I think it was fifth round.
Because he dropped a ball. I mean, Debo has dropped a ball. Brandon has dropped a ball. Brandon's dropped a few balls this year.
Right. It's not that this is a fireable offense, but you look at the picks and... yeah, he was a seventh round pick. So a late throwaway pick, although we don't get to say that anymore because of Brock Purdy. Those are no longer throwaway picks. Those are, yeah. You better be a Hall of Famer because that's where that bar has been set.
Juwan, too, by
the way.
Sorry
about that.
Those are both seventh round picks.
Yeah.
They were running all over the field
and,
last week.
And Tatum Bethune this last year, seventh rounder. He's played a couple of games on special teams, but it's not about, you know, Cowing versus Bell. Because if you're getting down to a Cowing versus Bell debate, your team is either not very good or racked with injury or both. But I'm just anxious to see Cowing. He was behind. Remember, he got hurt.
Yep.
And so he was behind in camp. But he's been able to play special teams 3 weeks now. So he's clearly healthy enough and good enough to be out on teams. But is he not good enough to at least be out there and run a couple of routes?
I also remember, and I can't remember if it was Brandon who said this, but someone told us a few years ago at the wide receiver position, it actually might have even been before I got over here, it might have been Kendrick Bourne, but it's something that has been discussed in the NFL for a while, which is that for a wide receiver, Kyle Shanahan's playbook is one of the hardest to learn right out of the gate in the whole league. That's a reputation. I'm not a wide receiver. I've never read the playbook. I don't know. That's what I'm told by those who are in it trying to learn it. And so I don't think it's crazy. And I know we do this and we've done it with Steve Kerr. Like, gosh, stop hating on the young people or whatever. But when you're early in a season and early in a career like that, even if physically you're like, all things are equal. Or gosh, even if Cowan, you're like, oh no, he's a little bit better. But it's the fourth quarter of a close game on the road. Who am I going to trust right here to run the right route? I get it. I get it when coaches are like, let me take the guy who, just, hang on, let me just take the guy here for a moment who's been here for a little while. I get it. I get it. Obviously, it would have been better if he'd caught the ball.
Yes. And the real truth of this is, if Ricky Pearsall had not been shot,
there's that too.
Ricky Pearsall is the guy who's playing and Ronnie Bell is not. Conley's played 58 snaps. Ronnie Bell's played 49 snaps. Jacob Cowing, zero snaps. So could he not be out there for five or six and get the toe in the water like they did Guerrero? That's the part where fans are questioning what's going on, because Ronnie Bell, second year, he's kind of had the dropsies in the short time of his career.
He had it in the preseason when he was a rookie, and then he had it in this game. I don't know. Does he have any other like high-profile drops that I'm blanking on? I've never like...
Yeah, give me Greg Cosell, who's seen every snap of Brock Purdy's career.
But you know what I mean. Like, I remembered in the preseason last year, but who cares? Right. I don't care that he dropped balls in the preseason. I thought he was fine in the very, very limited duty that he had last year. That's always been my perception of Ronnie Bell. It's not like offensive until Sunday.
No. Well, it just looks to me like he has the yips. You know, when the ball's coming to him, you got nerves, and maybe he's trying too hard to make a big play. But
did it look like that before this Sunday? Ever before?
I think he's had issues with drops. I'll have to go back and look at the tape tonight. I'll go through every one of Ronnie Bell's targets, and I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Raj in San Jose with Willie and
Gibby.
There
are only 16 of them, so it won't take that long.
Good point. Hi, Raj.
Hey, what's up, guys? I think this whole Ronnie Bell talk is just complete nonsense. He's a second-year player. He ran a good route. If he makes that catch, we're having a whole different conversation on this. We as, like, you know, Niner fans should be, you know, trying to get him confidence, not, you know, dragging down and saying, let's cut him. Ayuk, if anything, needs criticism because he showed up out of shape, you know. But we still got Guerrero. Guerrero seemed like he's a good short down back. You know, he could probably get those two-yard gains consistently if you ever need 2 yards. And then you got, you know, Patrick Taylor, too, as a third string, who was really good at college. So I think this could be our time to, you know, really get these young guys involved while these, you know, veterans are out. And I think that's just going to help the Niners down the road if, you know, just in case, you know, we do lose, you know, Kittle for the season or, God forbid, you know, lose someone else. But that's just my two cents on it.
Yeah, Raj, thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, there is always that possibility that this is a big old silver lining and that 5 weeks from now the 49ers are experiencing relative health, and then people who you know, weren't going to get experience got experience, and that makes you a deeper team down the road. Sure.
Yeah, potentially. Possible. And he's got 49 snaps, so let's not overblow much Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
So
he's mentioning Guerrero. Like, let's have a scenario. Yeah. Like, well, what if by week 11 Christian McCaffrey is playing football again? And now you got Jordan Mason and you got Guerrero, but you got Guerrero who had about 8 weeks of some experience that he wasn't going to get.
I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? That's all possible.
Yeah, and it's also possible that you're 3-6. And so then maybe McCaffrey gets shelved and then Guerrero gets a lot more experience, because as it sits right now, McCaffrey likely out for 4 to 6 more weeks. So you're aiming for after the bye. Debo, we don't know. I haven't seen any reports of him, you know, and what he's doing. I know he won't be at practice because he's out for a couple of weeks. And George Kittle becomes the really interesting one for me, because it seems like of the three injuries, his was the least severe.
And I think that the practice reports today bear out exactly what you're saying. There was no mention of Debo because they had already mentioned last week that he would miss this week as well. So I think the two things you're looking for going into practice today are participation from Brock Purdy and George Kittle, and you got it.
Yep.
And for Brock, you got it at full participation with absolutely no constraints. That's wonderful. And George, you got it on a limited basis, which I'd also argue is a good thing, because it would be stupid for them to make him a full go when what he was dealing with was a hamstring, and he's George Kittle.
Yeah.
He's very experienced. You don't need to overly worry about Wednesday, but if you're practicing him on a Wednesday, I think that means they're feeling pretty good about his chances to be ready to go this week.
Agreed. And he was limited, which means the hamstring's feeling well enough for him to go out there and run around on the side and be at least a participant. It will be interesting to see tomorrow where he comes out on the report, if he's still limited. Maybe Friday he's a full go and you start to ramp him up. The other one that is, I'm going to keep one eye on, not two eyes, Trent Williams, who is sick. And, you know, sometimes if you're sick, you could have, you know, an illness that would prevent you from being around other people. And if you're really sick, that might cost you a game. And we know that so far, even when Trent's been healthy, he's had IVs in the last two games. So from a health standpoint, of course, you're always hoping that everyone's healthy, but Trent's needed a couple of IVs. He's been fatigued and exhausted at games, and now he's sick. This is not a good start for Trent.
I actually called Trent and found out what the illness is. Trent is sick with a case of the 36s.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. So that's
well, you
the
know,
name
he always gets a Veteran Day.
Yeah.
But normally when he gets the Veteran Day, they just say, oh, he was out for a Veteran Day.
Yeah. By the way, here's Kyle Shanahan on the all the injuries.
Javon Hargrave, triceps will not practice. Debo, calf, won't practice. D. Winters, ankle, won't practice. Trent Williams is sick, won't practice. George Kittle, hamstring, limited.
Brock Purdy's full go?
Full go.
Everything?
Yep.
Okay, so there's the update. By the way, sneaky one in there that's unfortunate, which is that D. Winters is also just in the bucket of won't practice. And I was worried about that. When they said ankle injury last week, there wasn't really a whole lot made about it. I think that there is some bubbling below the surface excitement about D. Winters based on what we saw in the preseason. And add that with the angst of Devondre Campbell. I'd love to see him get in there. And the tone that you just heard today would suggest that D is not trending in the right direction.
No, and he's played six snaps. And it was a re-injury of the ankle that he'd been dealing with. And I'm not going to go too far with my medical doctor degree, but I'll just say that's not good.
It's not good.
When you have a couple of weeks where you're out with an injury and within six snaps, it's a re-injury. So now that leads me to the questions about the defense again. Because what are you going to do? You've got Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles, who's played about 25%, and he's normally your third linebacker when you play your base defense. And then you've got the aforementioned Devondre Campbell, who's played 92% of the snaps. Great against the run.
Yep.
A little scary against the pass. So not only do you have no Javon Hargrave, you got Charvarius Mooney-Ward, who might be a little bit hampered, not listed on the injury report. And, you know, you got no D. Winters, you got no Dre Greenlaw. It's going to be up to the coordinator to do some creative things here.
Until this lasts longer, I'm going to believe that it's at least possible, if not probable, that the 49er defense is in a period of evaluating, tweaking, figuring it out, new coordinators, some new positions, all of that stuff. I know everybody at the beginning of the season could argue that. But these are the 49ers. They get a little bit more of a track record than some of these other teams. And so when you say, well, gee, how are they going to fix it? I mean, I can't sit here and give you the X's and O's of how they're going to fix it. But I don't think it's out of the question that the players you're watching now just play better. This is the most simplistic answer I could give you, but I don't think that that's crazy. I think the coordinator can try some new things. If the vanilla's not working, you know what I mean? Put some sprinkles on it.
Yep.
Like, let's go.
I was a big fan of the caramel sauce as a kid.
Yeah. Make it one of those ice cream shops that's got all the toppings over there in the bowls. Put some Reese's or some Butterfinger. I don't know, some M&M's. Stick that in there, mix it up, and see if you can be a little bit more of a delicious defense.
And I like the analogy. I like the sweet treats. And the other piece, which is not sexy, but Javon Hargrave is most likely to go on IR if he hasn't already. I don't think he would have mentioned the injury until he goes on IR.
They did not say IR.
So once he goes on IR, then there's going to be a corresponding move. I know they signed somebody to the practice squad today, but they're going to have to find somebody to come up and play that D-line.
Yeah, T.Y. McGill. There's a couple other players on the practice squad that are probably competing for the roster spot. I'd expect that you'd get that a little bit later
tomorrow,
in the week.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Friday. Yeah.
They're also waiting for Kalia Davis to get back healthy.
Right.
Once he comes back, he's probably that roster.
Yeah, but I was looking at the knee injury, and it seemed like that one was going to be half the year.
Well, and he's IR, but that would only mean he has to be there at least one more week, right? Just one more week.
Yeah.
That was preseason.
I think Dip is right, though. It's going to be a little bit longer.
Okay.
But when he is available, unless someone else just absolutely blows their expectations away, it's probably Kalia's spot.
Let's go to Ryan in Irvine. Hi, Ryan. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to say I really appreciate your guys' show because I appreciate your guys' perspective. I think, Willard, you're a little more optimistic, positive. Dibs, I think you're more like me, a little more pessimistic, I think, by nature. But here's my 2 points. Here comes my pessimism. I heard a stat that said that no team has ever started 1-2 and ever made a conference championship. So if the Niners are going to do it this year, it would be historic. And then I had a question about Kyle Shanahan. You just mentioned a few minutes ago that he's notoriously hard on wide receivers, and a lot of guys have mentioned just how hard it is to pick up the playbook as a wide receiver in Kyle's system. But I just get frustrated because I see rookies, I'm just going to call it what it is. I think the goal, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, in my head, I'm like, they're facing Kansas City, and you're going to have to beat them eventually. I just think that's the way that they're going to have to win a Super Bowl. You're going to have to beat the best team, and that's Kansas City right now. But look how Andy uses his rookies. Xavier Worthy is a one-trick pony. The guy has speed. He can't block. He's light. But, like, right out of the gates, he's using them on end-arounds and creating plays that fit his skill set. Of course, he doesn't have the full playbook, but that doesn't keep him off the field. And I just feel like if Kyle's system is so amazing, it's intuitive, it's genius. I hate to use that word because it gets thrown around way too much, but why can't he use Cowing, who literally is like our only guy on the roster right now that has very difficult speed to defend? He can't use him for any end arounds or get creative to use him. Sure, he doesn't know how to block every scheme. He doesn't know how to read every single defense or know the entire playbook, but he can't get him on the field more than at all. I mean, it's just crazy to me.
All right, Ryan, let's jump in on this because thank you for calling. It's an interesting call. Let's start with the factual error. Yes, plenty of teams that have gone 1-2 have made the conference championship, including the Niners 2 years ago.
Right, but what I discovered during that call was that no team has started 1-2 and won the conference championship game.
Interesting.
And I'll look to confirm that, but
okay.
Yeah, I just
like
that's what I saw initially, because the Niners, Grandy was pointing out in our ear, they did start 1-2 and they made the Super Bowl.
The loss against the Broncos with Jimmy running out of the back of the end zone made them 1-2, and they went to the conference championship game. And
back-to-back blown fourth quarter leads by Kyle Shanahan.
And don't forget, I don't know if this matters. I don't know where they were the year that they were 3-5. The previous year.
And they were 2-1.
They were 2-1, but they were 3-5, which I would argue is worse than 1-2, because you're halfway through the season, and that team made the conference championship.
That was the wild year where they were 2-0, and then they lost 4 in a row.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And then Jimmy needed to play the Rams well on a Monday night, or else he was going to lose his job, and they beat the Rams by 21 points and went to 4-5, and ended up in L.A. with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. We'll stop right there.
They lost 5 of 6, even.
Yeah.
Because they lost 3 in a row. They had the bye. And then they came out and laid an egg against the Colts at home.
Oh, that game, I still remember. Oh, man. Yep. That was the game. The weather was terrible, right?
It was a Sunday night game.
It was raining. Oh, it was raining like crazy. And they looked awful. I mean, brutal. Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah, your memory sometimes is quietly impressive.
Gosh.
And then they followed that up with a win in Chicago, only to return home and get killed by Colt McCoy and the Cardinals.
Which was probably, we talked about it last week, I mean, that was one of the real memorable frustration moments where you're like, what the hell is this? what is this team?
Yeah.
Well, a really good playoff team, as it turned out.
And we were just getting to know a running back who is still doing it at this hour. I'm looking for James Conner. Get three touchdowns in that game.
There's a minute. Like, James Conner is this generation's Curtis Martin.
Yeah,
like, although
pretty good.
Probably not fair, because James is probably not as old as he seems. How old is James Conner?
It's got to be like 40.
It feels like he's been around.
He's 29 years old.
29. He's not even 30 yet. He's essentially the same age as Christian McCaffrey. But we're like, man, that guy's old. It does. It feels like he's been around for a long time. And that's a compliment to him, because running backs do not usually continue to produce when they're given a bunch of carries a bunch of years in a row. But we'll see. Maybe he's one of those guys. Curtis Martin turned 30 and was like, watch this. I'm about to get better.
Yeah, so, LaDainian Tomlinson, another guy who north of 30 was pretty dominant. Something happened in that game that night that we haven't seen yet this season. Brandon Ayuk caught a touchdown pass.
Come on, man.
From Jimmy Garoppolo.
I thought that was against the rules.
It is this year.
Oh, 415 is texting in something that I think is right. Remember the year that Emmitt held out?
Yeah.
The Cowboys went 0-2, and I think they won the Super Bowl.
The year that Emmitt held out?
I think that's correct.
Was that 92?
Yeah, thank you for the text. Xfinity Mobile text line. I think that that's correct. But yeah, check us on that. I know they started 0-2, and then they went and paid Emmitt, and I think they won the whole banana.
It wasn't 92.
91, no? Perhaps? No, 93?
Anyway.
I'm just racking through all of their... What? Yeah, 93.
There you go. And did they win the banana?
Yeah, they got by a Buffalo team.
Snuck by them?
Yeah, so there you go, 1-2.
All right, so the Super Bowl
is
not off the table. Now to his other point, which is an interesting one. It was when he brought up Xavier Worthy. Why can Andy Reid find ways to get these guys on the field?
Week one.
And not that stiff lemon booty Kyle Shanahan. Well, let me just answer it this way. I think it's a fair question. Could he, should he have like sort of a cowing playbook? I think when you do it that way, the way that's being suggested, it's a little too telegraphed. It's like he can't even get on the field. And then all of a sudden he's on the field. And, you know, like I think the defense sort of gets clued in. But I would say you're going to have a hard time comparing Xavier Worthy to Jacob Cowing. That conversation made it sound like, well, that's their speed guy that they drafted and this is our speed guy. Xavier Worthy is a first-round draft pick who broke the damn record at the combine for the 40 drill. That's not Jacob Cowing. Jacob Cowing's a guy who's just still sitting there in the fourth round like, anybody going to do anything? We've been drafting for 3 days now. Xavier Worthy's a first-round draft pick who went to Texas and ran like crazy. So...
Cowing 4.38 at the combine.
No, he's fast.
I mean, he's fast enough to return kicks, but we can't even jet sweep him, Kyle.
Well, like Deebo Samuel's on the team. You're going to jet sweep Jacob Cowing?
Can he not get the pop pass that Brandon Ayuk got here this past Sunday?
No.
Where he goes in jet sweep motion and it's just that little boop.
You know what you'd
all
do.
Just boop?
You know, and watch. You do that, he drops it or he fumbles, and the next sentence is, what is he doing on the field? Like, that's all I'm saying.
4.38.
That's just running. That's not
that's singing. That's running.
That's not Sorry. Football. That's the underwear Olympics with no one in your way.
Xavier Worthy, 4.21.
Like, hey, kid, there's a line over there. Run. It's not a play. It's not a playbook. It's just, dude, you don't even have a helmet. You don't have pads. You don't have pants. You barely have shoes. Just run. That's not football. So, like, I'm not sitting here saying it's the wrong idea. I'm just saying we can't assume these things. Jacob Cowing should be in. I've never even seen him.
Well, you're not assuming it, but
it sounds like it.
Well, you're assuming
that. Ronnie Bell's in. Why not Jacob Cowing? Well, he told you. He's a rook, and he ain't ready.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy, also a rookie.
First-round draft pick.
Right, but...
Who has 6 catches for the year.
Yep.
That's all.
5 carries.
Yeah.
Puka Nacua last year, 4th-round pick, also a rookie, and he had 10 catches. He had 25 catches the first 2 games.
Pretty sure he's a 5th-round pick.
There you go.
But my argument would be... But
my
now,
point is even getting better and better.
No, because you're crossing points that don't add up. You're making it sound like every human being who's drafted is the same thing. And that's provably false. Like Puka Nacua, checks notes, is really fleeping good. And nobody knew that.
Until he played.
Right. Actually,
Jacob Cowan could be this year's Puka Nacua.
I'd argue, no, that's not inaccurate.
He's allowed to be.
But why did they go to Puka week one? Because they knew. We didn't know, but they knew. They knew after OTAs and 5 weeks of camp, they're like, y'all, we got something. The 49ers went through OTAs, 5 weeks of camp, and they looked at Jacob Cowing and went, you're not ready. I accept that. They are the experts. They are there every day. They are watching this. They know.
They've been wrong before.
Yes. Of course. But like to whittle that down to one play at the end of a Rams game because Ronnie Bell dropped it, I'm sorry, that's not fair.
It's bigger than one play.
It's not.
It is, because
no one thought of Jacob Cowing until he dropped that pass.
We thought about it on Friday when the GM or the president of football ops, whatever his title is, said, hey, you might be seeing some young Cowing out there.
We thought of it because he said it.
And he said it because...
We hadn't thought of it before that.
Why would he say it?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah, me
too. I'd like to.
Me too. He threw a curveball out there.
Well, and then, and I don't know if you have the Shanahan answer to it and the question asked about Cowing, but he all but said, no, that wasn't the plan.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, what I heard him say is, John Lynch, you should keep his name out your mouth.
They said to him, they said, hey, John Lynch said Cowing might play. What's your thought?
Because it wasn't the plan. If there would have been injury, he would have, but he wasn't ready to do that yet, and so we kept him at punt returner. But you have five guys up, so if someone did get hurt, he had to be ready, and then he would have got those reps.
You get any close to being ready for that?
We'll see this week. Nothing's happened here in the last few days. We got practice today, and we'll see how he does. I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, how about this week? Is he close? Eh.
Well, we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a day off yesterday, and so we'll see. And, you know, what I heard Kyle saying in that is, no, he's not going to be ready.
I hear
and
that, too.
Whether it's my beautiful laminated play sheet or the verbiage of my plays or whatever it is, if he doesn't think he's ready, then why isn't he ready? Is he not able to learn the scheme and get ready, or are you not coaching him up the correct way?
Dibs, it is September 25th of a fourth round pick's rookie year. When did we make this the line by which players need to succeed?
Well, he doesn't have to see. It's not like succeed now or you're a bust, but you've got one receiver who's been shot, another receiver who is injured, and another receiver who just isn't really good at catching the football. So can we rush him a little bit?
No.
Can we speed this process up a little bit?
The Patriots stink and used their third overall pick on a quarterback, and they're not playing him this week. Why?
What's quarterback?
Why aren't they playing him?
Because they got a veteran who's won in this league.
Coach him up. Let's go. Chop, chop. Like, what? Where did this come
it's
from?
It's apples and oranges, going quarterback to receiver. Easier to hit the
oranges
field
you going
as a
Jacob
receiver.
Cowing to Puka Nacua.
He's a rookie.
And not all rookies are built the same.
And you were using the comp of draft position, and he got drafted higher than Puka Nacua did.
Yes. The comp was Xavier Worthy, and it should not be a comp. That was literally my point.
Right.
These are not chess pieces. They're people. And it's going to take some of them some time. I had no idea that by week three, we were going to be having Jacob Cowing conversations. I'm hopeful that he is something. I'd love to see what he looks like. But my goodness, like to look at the coaching staff and either say, why isn't he in there? And if he's not, then what are you doing wrong? Like, oh my God.
Can he not get
really
a snap? I mean, obviously he can't even get a play. He can return kicks.
He was up.
He can muff punts.
He was on the team.
So he muffs a punt, and then he gets to be a punt returner again because he's really fast and
but that's totally
he's good
different.
At that.
That's totally different than reading defenses and running routes. It's totally different.
There's got to be a play that he can comfortably run in the NFL and something that you can comfortably call. And you did the same thing with Garendo in week two. He was, okay, now he's ready.
It's a running back.
One carry.
It's a running
and
back.
Get off the field.
Running back's a completely easier position to start.
I don't know about that.
No question.
You got to read holes. You got to know the play call and all that. You got to pass protect.
I mean, the data is years long. Rookie running backs have an easier time getting started than rookie wide receivers normally. Under normal circumstances.
Is there not a play or a handful of things that he can do on offense?
But why is that the conversation? Like, why is
because
that the obsession?
Because you need receivers.
No, I don't think you do. You need the one you have to squeeze the orange and hold on to it.
And he isn't good at doing that.
Well,
so.
And apparently this one's not ready to either. You might not have even run the right route if he had been out there.
So now we're going to go with Jennings and Ayuk. And just a sprinkle of Conley and more Ronnie Bell.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it just...
Yes, that's exactly what they're going to do.
You draft these guys so you could develop them and play them. I don't think that you were thinking about a draft and stash with Cowing because you're putting them out there on special teams.
I don't think you know. You don't know when you draft them. And everyone goes at their own pace. And every position is different. And then every situation is different. You're also not thinking that you're going to end up in week three with no Kittle and no Debo. That's not part of the plan.
And no Pearsall.
Yeah.
Well, here you are. And so now maybe you rush him. You cram him. You get him ready to go out there and make an impact for an offense that needs another receiver.
Why?
Because you need a receiver.
You didn't know before the game that Ronnie Bell was going to drop the ball.
You knew that Ronnie Bell wasn't that highly thought of because you barely played Ronnie Bell last year. So you come in now.
You had healthy receiving core last year.
Well, you've got Conley, and Conley played 20 snaps.
Yeah.
So you're clearly searching for an answer, and you've got a guy that you drafted in the fourth round.
Interesting.
And he can go on special teams, but he's not ready to play offense. I need to be told why. What is he not ready for?
Well, he's not going to tell you that.
Of course he's not.
Yeah, because that's gonna bleep on his player. Why would a coach do that?
Well, he doesn't know the offense and stuff, and his
kid's
route running
is sloppy.
Kid's been
here for 3 weeks. You want Kyle Shanahan to trash him to the media?
Instead, you put a guy out there who is not capable of catching the football.
Well, and what you're suggesting is let's put someone in favor of that person who maybe can't even run the route.
But we don't know. We don't know where his
they do.
Where his shortcomings
they
are.
They do. They do.
Right.
They know.
Well, then, if they know, then either he's never going to be good enough, or they need to do a better job of getting him ready.
Can I inject another name into this?
Sure.
Why is Ronnie Bell out there over Chris Conley, who made multiple big catches in the postseason?
That, I think, is a great question. That was the question
I had.
You get
credit for that.
No, I'm not. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about Jacob Cowing. I'm excited to see him. The same way I'm excited to see any draft pick. But I'm going to largely accept a coach who says that a player who's been a professional for 3 weeks isn't ready. I'm going to accept that. Conley, however, is an accomplished NFL receiver and better than Ronnie Bell in my eyes. They're different, so I don't know if it was the route that they were going to run or what it is. And that would be an interesting question. Why not a lot more of Conley, who has more experience in the NFL? I'd love to hear Kyle answer that question.
Yeah, and 4.35 speed, and he had, as I'm checking the box score, zero targets for Chris Conley.
Yeah.
He played 20 snaps, and he didn't get a throw. But yeah, let's find Ronnie Bell.
That's where it went.
That play was called for Ronnie Bell. That was a schemed up play, as I told Greg Cosell earlier.
That was
a masterclass of play calling.
Yes, if the look was there, then that was where he was supposed to throw it, and it was. It was executed perfectly, except for the catch.
Yeah. There's that.
I just don't like.
Other
to me,
than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah, like to me, this just isn't a. It's just not a Jacob Cowing conversation. It's a Ronnie Bell conversation. We can have that, but like to it. It sounds like you're almost either saying, 3 weeks in, either one of two things is true. Ronnie Bell's a bust, or the Niner coaching staff is doing him wrong so far.
Well, I don't know if that feels
a little hot.
Well, let's coach him up. What I'm saying is you've got a player that you drafted. You like the player.
What,
you like the pick. And this is week three.
What does that mean, coach him up?
Get him ready to do something. Maybe he's not ready to run the whole stem. Maybe he's not ready to run a bang eight. But he's clearly ready to do something. He's ready to touch the football for your special teams.
What's a bang eight?
It's I'd have to look at my route tree, but
you look for a defender.
That's a great question.
Wearing the number eight, run over to him. Bang!
I had a bunch of jokes about my about my my college dating career, but I withdrew.
I bet you do.
don't talk about that.
I ran a lot of bang fours in my day. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I think Carl.
Am I right?
Carl wants to come out.
Number four.
Hi, Carl. Carl's in Hayward. Hey, Carl. I appreciate your call. What's up?
So how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
I don't like to intervene. I love the back and forth, but I will pick a side today. Willard, you're wrong. You're wrong because let me tell you why. And you're semi right, and we didn't know Ronnie Bell was going to do this to us in this game, right?
So you're wrong. Didn't last very long, but go ahead, Carl.
Yeah. So we find out this game. Okay, Ronnie Bell. Now, if you got a 4-3 speed guy. Like Dib's saying, you have to, if you send him in motion full speed, you find out the defense is man zone, you can figure things out. There's ways to get him on the field, either as a decoy or just to use his pure speed, which speed kills, and everybody knows that. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Carl.
I just don't, like, I'm not, Jerry Rice was a 4-5 guy, he's the GOAT. Like, speed in the NFL, do you know what it is? If you're a 4-3 guy, you're probably staring at another one who's guarding you. We can't take 4-3 speed and go, so he's amazing, run a play for him. He may not know where to go yet. He may be having a hard time. I don't know. Like
if it's week three and there's not something that he can do, a thing, then let's do it.
Why?
Because you're doing with Ronnie Bell doesn't work.
You didn't know that before the play.
You did.
No, you did.
Because
didn't.
Earlier in the game.
So he dropped one ball. We got to take him out.
He dropped two balls.
So then you better pull Brandon out 4 different times this year.
Well, you gave him $30 million.
No. No, he can't catch.
Yeah, because 71 grabs last year is a fluke.
Dibs.
Mark, we're talking about unproven versus unproven who we've never seen.
I would not argue you're talking about unproven versus unproven. Ronnie Bell has 3 touchdown catches in the NFL.
Right.
Like, they do not have this concept that if we ever throw him the ball, he's definitely going to drop it. Like, that's not the way we look at it. And fans who are saying that, you're cherry-picking. Because you haven't said that before. If someone had called us last week and gone, I'm really worried because Debo's out and Ronnie Bell drops everything we throw, nobody said that. Everybody's saying it after the fact. Your hindsight glasses are out and on and unfair.
Untrue, because if Pearsall hadn't gotten shot and Debo hadn't gotten hurt, Ronnie Bell wouldn't be on this team. Your receivers would be Jennings and Brandon and Debo and Chris and Pearsall and Cowling, and Ronnie would be...
You don't know that. It's
probably,
likely based on recency of the draft and nothing else, but you don't know that.
I'm pretty sure of it.
He might have been on the practice squad, and he might have got called up and jumped Jacob.
He probably would have been cut, and he would be a Carolina Panther.
Oh, someone else would have picked him up.
A team that doesn't have any wide receivers.
Damn. They have wide
receivers. They're allowed to have wide receivers. I get it.
I had one of them in fantasy this week. It went wonderfully. Deontay Johnson.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Wide receiver. Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Make sure you start Chuba Hubbard this week against Dyne.
I will.
Okay. Because he's.
You know who I'm starting him instead of? Ramondre Stevenson.
That's a smart move.
You hitting the bench, Ramondre, because I ain't rooting for you this weekend.
And the Niners are good against the run.
You're benching a running back against this Niner defense?
Uh-huh.
The Niner run D is decent at worst.
You watch, Grandy.
Kyren coming off of 3 touchdowns.
Don't we play PPR? We got PPR, right?
Yeah.
Chuba.
Full point.
Chuba's going to get like 6 catches this week against that Bengals defense.
That's a lot.
All right. Thank you. I'll make my decisions, Mr. 0-3.
If you're on hold, stay there. Come at Willard. Mr. 0-3. Man, this is Ed Lubman. Did you hear Lubman morning?
Is he crying? What happened?
Well, he's like, my fantasy teams are 1-8. I'm so done with fantasy. I hate it. I give it up. Never again. Until next year.
Until next week.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
His team stinks.
Well, you know, the Christian thing will get you.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, he started his draft at pick 25 or something.
Ouch, babe.
That's kind of hard.
Yep.
We're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll get to more of your calls. I think we got something to say about the Collie. That's coming up next as well on Willard and Dibs.
You're wrong. Let me tell you why. And you're semi-right.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
No. Okay, you're right.
You're wrong. Let me tell you why.
And you're semi-right.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Might be the most sports radio thing I've ever heard in my life. Always right and always wrong all the time.
No. Okay, you're right.
That's right. Phil Moe!
That's kind of a good tagline for our show. Always right. And always wrong,
always
Willard and Dibs.
Wrong. Yeah. Or we could just call ourselves right and wrong and let people decide which is which.
Yeah.
You're right. I do think I'm right.
Yeah.
I do. So do you. And that's fine. That's kind of the whole point.
It is.
But anyway, it's not even that. It's just perspective, right? Like this is how I see it. I am going to, unless I think the coach is a Momo, like I'm going to assume that someone who's in practice with everybody every day, they're also with them outside of practice, they have meals with them, they're literally teaching them the whole deal. I'm going to assume that they're not just on a whim when they decide who got the playing time. Now, often you work your way in, you get a look, you do well with it, you get more, or someone else gets hurt, you get an opportunity. Oh, wow, looks like we found something. His name's Brock Purdy or Draymond Green or whatever. But, dude, I in general, I got no issues with a coach, any sport, looking at a rookie and just being like, doesn't look ready to me, especially 3 weeks into a year.
But the same rookie is being charged with one of the most important jobs on the field, which is fielding punts. So he's ready to do that, but he's not ready to also handle the ball on offense in a very rudimentary way.
I would just argue that catching punts and returning them is like 1/1000th of the scheme of running an offensive play.
Well, like, catch the play.
Catch the ball. Don't drop it. Don't get killed. If you can get some yards, good for you.
The scheme can be as easy as go in motion in front of my quarterback in the pistol, and he's just going to flip it to you, and then you run really, really fast. End of scheme.
And they would be 3-0 if they'd done that.
Not saying that.
Well,
I'm just saying I want to see it.
You
know what I don't want to see?
You're not running the show.
I don't want to see number 10, which, by the way, is a bit of a cursed number with the Niners now.
Well, I don't know.
Kyle Williams?
Jimmy?
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Is that a curse?
It's not.
You know, I'll never know.
Possibly.
I read the list of number 10s with the Niners. Yeah. There's a couple kickers in there. But it's not an illustrious list of guys who've worn 10.
Great number, though. It's a great album by Pearl Jam.
Jeremy Hogan.
Let's go to Bob in
let's
the city.
Let's do it.
Hi, Bob. Bob?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Show. Yeah, I felt a little bad for Ronnie Bell, actually. I mean, everybody's been on his case all week. And I'm like, wow, okay. But I think it's a technique thing. He's not really looking at the ball into his hands. So, I mean, he just does the extra time with his coach, and they start working on that. I don't see why. He ran the route great. He just had cement hands, I guess. But that's what I see. It's just a technical thing. And if I was Ronnie Bell, I'd call up Jerry Rice, since he's always on the field, and say, hey, man, show me how to catch the ball, you know? So I think instead of focusing on the other guy, we should focus on getting Ronnie Bell right.
So, Bob, thanks. Yeah,
let's get
thanks
him on the judge
much.
Machine, Bob.
I don't know, man. These are NFL receivers. We got to teach them how to catch.
Yes.
How the hell did they get to this position?
Because he runs 4.38. That's how. They went to
Ronnie,
Michigan. Yeah,
Ronnie that's a does? Great question.
Yeah, Ronnie's quick.
Okay, understood. Right. What does Jacob run?
Jacob was 4.39, I believe.
Okay.
And
what was Ronnie?
Ronnie's, I think, 4.3, okay. 4.3 and change. Great. Xavier Worthy, 4.21.
Right. But let's forget Xavier for a second. So everyone who wants to call right now and tell me that you're supposed to run a play for Jacob Cowing because he's fast, what you just said is Ronnie Bell's faster.
Ronnie Bell ran a 4.54 at the combine. Cowing ran a 4.38.
There you go.
Sluggish 4.54.
Right. Now that's a better point. I have no idea what the hell 40 he ran, but if he's running, it's not like Ronnie Bell's slow, but.
By NFL standards, 4.54, you're a linebacker.
Yeah, well, then no. The number just changed. The goalpost just got moved on.
It did.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
What about this? Real quick, before we run out of time. I don't have anything lengthy to say here. I don't even know if I have anything at all to say here, other than this. The whole thing just sucks. I feel so bad, and I know we've done this 1,000 times, so I already know that I'm going to get criticized for this because I'm a Giants fan. I know, A's fans, that you don't want to hear from the likes of me, but I'm sorry because you're on my mind. I just want to say that I'm thinking about everybody who goes out either tonight or tomorrow to the last games at the Coliseum. Don't steal things. I already know you're going to get caught. They caught a bunch of people last night. They're not bulldozing the Coliseum, so they don't want you to take it apart. You can't leave with a chair. But I'm thinking about you and relocation in sports. Whatever the owner has in their mind, from John Fisher to Dean Spanos to everybody else who's been doing this for decades now, I just think it's a very, very strange idea that often does not bear the fruit that you think it does. Your greed does not pay off. And I think it's awful. I don't know what else to say. I'm just thinking about everybody who goes out there.
Yeah.
And if you grew up an A's fan and you went with your parents and this is hitting you in an emotional way, I really, really feel for you.
Yeah, it definitely is hitting me as a 25-year Oakland resident. And I raised my kids on going to the Coliseum for Raider games and A's games, certainly Warrior games, and I just have been reflecting on all the great days that I've spent out there. And probably the greatest Coliseum experience I have was October 3rd, 2012, and it was the game against Texas where winner take all in the AL West. And at the time, I had a policy with my kids, who are now grown-ups, but you got one get-out-of-school-free card a year. I'm going to give you a day where you call your shot and you get to skip school.
Okay.
And my son Quest would go to Great America with his uncle Devin and ride the rides, and that was his day. My son Keon, who was 9 at the time, wanted to go to this game. So I actually bought tickets, which as a media guy, it's rare. And it was a hot day, and we sat underneath the overhang, and we had a day. My 9-year-old son and I, and they hit that fly ball to center field. The A's were already down 5-0. They rallied, and Josh Hamilton kind of meandered under it. And as you know, that's a high sky at Oakland. And those fly balls in day games, they can be problematic.
Tough.
And Josh Hamilton had himself a problem, and the Coliseum erupted, and the A's went on to win that game. One of the many, many great memories I had there. So as much as I'll miss the A's have kind of been dead to me for about 4 years, thanks to John Fisher. But I'm going to miss that building. The building. And I know the Oakland Roots are going to play there, and that'll be cool. I love soccer and all the rest of it.
Yeah, you can still go over there. There's still going to be events.
There's still going to be things there.
Yep.
But A's games, Raiders games, that's going to be the toughest part for me. And we'll have more tomorrow as we really reflect on the final day.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Feel for everybody.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, I hope it's peaceful tomorrow. I hope that too. You know, I know there's going to be emotion in the building. I know people are ticked off. You have every right to be ticked off. John Fisher finally saying something public this week did nothing. It did nothing.
Oh, it made it worse.
It made it worse. It just angered people more. There's no saving this. You have conducted yourself in an absolutely awful manner, and there's not a damn thing that you can say that'll change that. And so from that aspect of the A's, and that aspect only, just the John Fisher part, good riddance.
Yeah.
The hell out of town.
But for the fans, it's crushing, and you can pivot to the Oakland B's, the Balders, which many have, and you can become a fan of the Oakland Roots, and many have, the soccer team, and there will be still events at the Collie, but that's now three teams
three
gone.
Three teams. In how many years? Five?
Maybe seven, jeez, something like that.
It's unreal.
But, yeah.
It's unreal. Grandy, what do you got? What are you doing?
We're going to hear from you guys on the crossover, along with Stanley and Evan, and then Greg Cosell. Break down every angle of Niners-Rams.
Beauty. Here it comes with Grandy, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Man, week four is going to be here.
Here we go. Rob Ninkovich is going to be on the show. It's going to be great. Can't wait to do it. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for all the interaction today. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.